but be positive, because it involves a very positive guy. We've got Tim Gebhardt with the Chronicle-Telegram joining us. Tim, as always, it's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend. How are you?
Great to join you here, Bull, this afternoon. Before we get into it, let's wish a big happy birthday to our friend Tom Evans. Tom is celebrating. I don't want to give the number away, but he's celebrating one that's getting up there a little bit. So happy birthday to Tom Evans.
See, I told you he'd provide some positive light here. So happy birthday, Coach Evans. If I'm not mistaken, I think he is celebrating the milestone of 30. I mean, that's about what he looks.
Nice.
He looks like he's about 30 years old.
So I'm not 30.
29 or 30, somewhere in that area. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. So 29 or 30, we're going to go with that. So happy birthday, Coach Evans. And well, Tim, I want to get into something that the Elyria Sports Hall of Fame did, which I think is kind of cool, because you guys give out scholarships every year, and that's not new. But this year, obviously, that whole process became a heck of a lot tougher, because I know some of the funding for the scholarships will come from the Hall of Fame ceremonies and the banquet. Very clearly, you couldn't pull that off this year. But you're honoring four scholarship winners this year. Let's shed some light on the four students that you guys are giving the scholarships to.
Well, the funding actually comes from the Ring of Honor that was established a few years ago by Carol Russo, who's a Hall of Famer herself. Carol had the idea to send a note out to all our past and trainees and tell them that we're doing this for the schools, and they have generously donated funds that have kind of covered this over the last five, six, seven years anyway. So it's been a very good program that was started, and it's been great to see the contributions that we get from our past Hall of Famers. This year we're honoring two girls from Elyria High School, Jessie Thomas, a soccer player for the Pioneers. She's going to go on to Ashland University, majoring in marketing. She plans to play soccer for the Eagles there in Ashland, and she's the daughter of the coach of the Pioneers. Coach Thomas had the pleasure of coaching his own daughter this year, so that's always kind of a special thing. And then to have her wind up getting one of the scholarships makes it even all the better. We're also going to honor Madison Ozlewski from Elyria High School. Poor Madison was one of the members of the softball team this year that was hoping to get a chance to go down to state and maybe win another state championship for the Pioneers. That didn't materialize, as we know. But Madison is going to be off to Cedarville University, majoring in computer science with a focus in cybersecurity. And she hopes to play softball for the D2 Yellow Jackets. Cedarville is a school that's also called the Yellow Jackets, similar to Baldwin Wallace here locally. So those are the two from Elyria High School. Then we have a young lady from Open Door, Emily McLean, an outstanding basketball player. I had the pleasure of covering a couple of her games this past winter. Outstanding scorer. I believe that she holds the Open Door scoring record. I'd have to really check to make sure I'm right on that, but I think she set the new career scoring record for Open Door. She plans to major at pre-medicine. She'll be joining the Elyria girl down at Cedarville. So, but she's not planning to play basketball there at Cedarville. But I'll bet she gets down there, maybe she'll get the itch and maybe walk on. Who knows? But she was an outstanding basketball player at Open Door. And then our final one is Luke Costantino, Elyria Catholic graduate. Luke was outstanding football and basketball player at Elyria Catholic. He was one of those guys in basketball, I recall, and Mandy, you probably covered the Panthers a couple of times and can verify this. He would come off the bench and instantly provide some kind of spark, either defensively, getting a big rebound, maybe even scoring, but whatever it took, Luke would come in there and do that. On the football team, he was probably one of their leading tacklers as a linebacker, an outstanding young man, Luke Constantino. So those are the four. He's going to go to Hillsdale College and major in economics. So those are our four winners for this year, the scholarship winners. Just an outstanding class of students. you know, unfortunately, they weren't able to, you know, normally at the banquet, we bring them up front. We have them give a little, you know, they give a couple of minutes talk to thank everybody, and they get a chance to do that. Their parents can attend, and we actually award them the scholarship right there at the banquet. And unfortunately, due to this COVID-19 thing, we had to postpone our banquet this past spring. Hopefully, we're going to try to run it off in the fall, but right now, I'm not sure that that's going to come off. We've been in contact with community college. That's where the banquet usually takes place, and we're going to see if we can pull it off in the fall. If not, we're going to, you know, push it back to next spring, which would be kind of special because it'll be our 50th year that we've had the Sports Hall of Fame. So we're kind of excited about that. Whatever might take place here coming up in the next few months, let's hope we can get this thing past us and on to better and better things here.
I think we can all agree with that, no question. And have you guys had the discussion talking about what you might do if it does extend into the spring? I know you guys already had a class ready to induct this past spring, but is that something where you guys would just kind of push this class into 2021, or would you guys take a brand new set of submissions and kind of do two classes at once? Have you guys had that discussion?
Well, we've had discussion about that, and I think what we might do, I don't know that we'll run two full classes. That would be kind of tough, but we might add a couple of candidates into the group to honor a couple of extra ones on our 50th. That would be kind of a nice situation, but right now we're kind of in limbo on that with the possibility of maybe having our banquet in the fall. We're obviously hoping that can happen, but the longer we get into this, the more, you know, kind of bleak it looks, to be quite honest.
Tim Gebhardt with the Chronicle-Telegram and the Elyria Sports Hall of Fame joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And, well, if we get back to whatever normal is these days, hopefully we get there very quickly. We get there in the fall. I mean, we can have the ceremonies, the whole nine yards. That would give us a real good sign that we're going the right direction for high school football. And well, it seems like we're getting there, Tim, especially with the news passed down a little bit earlier today from Lieutenant Governor John Husted talking about how they are going to allow contact and non-contact competition to resume for all sports at least through July 15th. So it seems like the signs are good for now, but that came less than 24 hours after the announcement was made that the OHSAA Executive Director Jerry Snodgrass resigned. And the more we learn about this, the more it seems like he was forced out. And, you know, Tim, it seemed like he was faced with an otherwise impossible situation. And just throw this layer on top of another what's been a very, very bizarre year. And I think with a brand new interim executive director for the OHSAA, nobody's really quite sure what to expect.
Boy, that's for sure. You know, I didn't really know Mr. Snodgrass personally, but I know that he was highly thought of by everybody that I know that knew him. He was an advocate for having the fall sports start up, and you know, the speculation was that when he resigned or was let go, or whatever the circumstances were, that meant that the OHSAA was thinking about pushing everything to the spring, football-wise anyway. And according to what we're hearing today, that's not the case. They still want to go forward with fall football, if at all possible. That's what they're kind of gearing toward. I'm certainly hoping for that. I know you are, Bull. You know, I haven't been active writing for the Chronicle for a couple of months now because of this. There's no sports really to cover. Normally I'd be out, you know, maybe covering a Crushers game or maybe some Little League games or maybe some hot stove games, whatever the case. And we just haven't had that opportunity this spring and summer. So it's been kind of weird. And hopefully we can get back to some normalcy by the start of football season and the start of school. You know, on a personal note, my granddaughter will be starting at the new Northwood Junior High this year, and we're all a little bit apprehensive. It's a new school for her, a new set of teachers, a new plan, and then with this all going in there, you know, gosh, it's going to be kind of a shock culture for for her and all the other students that are going into these new buildings that Elyria has. It's great, a great atmosphere for Elyria students, but of course with all these new schools, everything's going to be new. The teachers are going to kind of have to feel their way around and so forth. It'll be interesting to see how we can pull this off. Hopefully everything goes smoothly.
And it seems like we learn something new about this virus every day. Hopefully by the time school starts up, you know, we will have learned enough to know that we can get this done safely and effectively. And, you know, Tim, you mentioned something there, too, about how, you know, you're hearing a lot of rumors, especially on all the social media platforms about, you know, what the reason might have been that they decided to go a different direction with their leadership role, the OHSAA, that is, and the idea of shifting things around from fall to spring. You know, the idea in theory, I don't think is all that bad. And I think in the grand scheme of things, it makes a little bit of sense to play football in the spring and then have maybe baseball, softball play in the fall. I think it's a fun idea to kick around, but because it's so far away from what we expect to be normal, I think it gets a lot of resistance as a result of all that.
You know, the funny thing is, as an old baseball coach myself, you know, for years we always thought the fall season was better for baseball anyway, although, you know, I'm sure football would disagree that they don't want to switch over to spring all the time either, and I don't really want to do that either, but the fall season for baseball can be pretty good as far as playing conditions are concerned. As you know, Bo, you've done spring baseball. It can be brutal on those kids. It can still be, you know, temperatures in the 30s and upper 20s or whatever, and that's not real conducive for good baseball play.
It's tough. It is extraordinarily tough. And boy, on the surface, that seems like it's an idea that maybe they should explore. And I think part of that reasoning is it's tougher to distance in a sport like football with a contact sport.
Correct.
You're going to have those issues, whereas with baseball, it's not as big of an issue. But there's no clarity whatsoever, and I think the fact that nobody really knows what direction they're going to go has us all kind of worried. But hopefully we have an answer on that sometime soon. And, well, you caused quite an uproar on your Facebook page, throwing the idea out there about what the Indians should do with their next team name if they decide to change the name, and it sure sounds like that's what they're going to do. If you were given the task of changing the name, would you have any leaders in the clubhouse right now? Even though, again, it seems like we're at least a couple years off from this happening.
You know, there have been a few names thrown out there that I kind of like. I sort of like that Crusaders idea. Somebody mentioned the Barons. That would be kind of cool, too, to bring back that name to Cleveland, which, you know, represented hockey for years and years. Then I saw someone post Cleveland Rocks, which would kind of go along with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and that kind of thing. I'm kind of not in favor of going back to the Spiders for a number of reasons. I don't really, number one, a spider itself is not one of my favorite insects, it's really not a insect, but you know what I mean. It's I'm not really fond of spiders, so to speak, so I don't know that I'd want that as my mascot or my logo or whatever, but it's fun to kick some of these things around. The more I think about it, Andy, you know, I have a Wahoo up on my wall here yet. I still do, and I love Chief Wahoo. I think, maybe the time has come where that thing is officially needs to be retired, you know, the name and the logo and so forth, and let's move on to a different, maybe a different realm here.
Going to be fascinating to see what route they take, because based on the announcement that was made at the end of last week, it sure seems like a change is imminent, but that's not going to happen anytime soon. I think we're still at least a couple of years away from it happening. So
that's probably true. Of course, with Terry Francona jumping on board with that thing, that took an awful lot of weight, I'm sure, for that change to happen. When he made his comments, it almost sounded like, you know, this is going to happen.
I think it will, although, again, when it comes to a name change, you're talking about a total rebranding, and that's the kind of process that takes a very, very long time.
Oh, yeah, it sure does. It sure does. Now, you know, there's several professional teams out there that are undergoing that same I'm sure the same thought process. Certainly the Redskins are right at the forefront right now. Then you've got, you know, maybe there's to be some sprinkling along the league of the Chiefs, the Atlanta Braves, the Blackhawks, the Hockey Blackhawks, and so forth. I haven't heard anything about that from those three franchises yet, but I'm sure that as time rolls on, that may happen under the light of what's going on in the country right now.
Yeah, tough to dispute that for sure. Well, Tim, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Bo. I really appreciate the time. Always enjoy coming on your show, and I'm looking forward to seeing you guys in the fall.
Absolutely. Let's hope that in 2 months we'll see each other under those Friday night lights. That would be awesome. It would give us a nice glimpse into whatever normal might be in the fall time.
Thanks a lot, Bo. You have a great day.
Thanks, Tim. You do the same. Again, that's Tim Gebhardt with the Chronicle-Telegram and the Elyria Sports Hall of Fame joining us here on